Jaya, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyabhikave. His divine grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai, Friends say Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Sivasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shishi Radhakrishna Govasayam Kunda Radhakrinda Girigo Vradam Kijai Vrindhavadam Kijai Acharanam Kijai Navaritam Kijai Jagasami Kijai Yamunamai Vijaya, Shimali Vlasadevi Vijaya, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Vijaya, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai Gaura Premananda Hari 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 Gaur. Okay. So before class, we want to welcome the devotees who are joining us from all over. The devotees from India. Anyway, we have Chopra, Ashok, Champakata, Lata from Hawaii, Sachimata from here, Arjuna Das from New Zealand, Diridas from Florida, Nayaka, Dasi, and Madan Gopal from New Zealand, and Sumit Bart from Sacramento, California. So we'll get more people joining us as we continue the class. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 12, Text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tathagata Charanam Bhujam Shreyas Kama Nirashishah Rishrodvayatah Sangam Muniyah Samupasate Tvaiva Charanam Bhojanam Shreyas Kama Niyashishah Vishjo Vayatha Sangam Muneya Sarupasate Vaiva Charanam Bhojanam Shreyas Kama Nirashishah Vishjo Vayatha Sangam Muneya Sarupasate Vaiva Charanam Bhojanam Shreyas Kama Nirashishah Vishjo Vayatha Sangam Muniya Samupasate.
Shreyas Kama Nirashishah Sati.
Munaya Samupasati.
Deva Charana
Pujana. Deva Charana Pujana. Shreyasta Manirashisha. Vishwataya Sangam.
Tava, your. Eva, indeed. Chanana Ambhujam. Lotus feet. Ashaya Kamaha. A person desiring the ultimate auspiciousness. The ultimate goal of life. Nirashishaha, without material desire. Vishraja, giving up. Vayataha, in this life and the next. Sangam, attachment. Muniyaha, great sages. Samupasate, worship. Translation, pure devotees or great saintly persons who desire to achieve the highest goal in life and are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, engage constantly in the transcendental loving service, transcendental service of your lotus feet. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Shilvaupad, Shilvaupad ki, yeah. One who is in the material world, when he thinks, I am this body and everything with reference to the body is mine. Atograt shetras sutaptavitara janasimoho yama, aham meti. This is the symptom of material life. In the materialistic conception of life, one thinks, this is my house. This is my land. This is my family. This is my state. And so on. But those who are Muniyaha, saintly persons following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, simply engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord without any personal desire for sense gratification. Anya vishalashita shunyam jnanakarma dinavratam. Either in this life or in the next, the only concern of such saintly devotees is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, they are also absolute because they have no other desires. Being freed from the duality of artha, economic development, or kama, sense gratification, the only concern of such devotees is moksha, liberation. This moksha does not refer to becoming one with the Supreme like the Mayavadi philosophers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that real moksha means taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord clearly explained this fact while instructing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to correct the word Muktipade in Srimad Bhagavatam, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed him that there is no need to correct any word in Srimad Bhagavatam. He explained that Muktipade refers to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who offers mukti and is therefore called Mukunda. A pure devotee is not concerned with material things. He is not concerned with religiosity, economic development, or sense gratification. He is interested only in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. So, Tavaiva Charanam Bhujam Shreyas Kamani Rashishaha Vishvajo Vayata Sangam Muniya Samu Asate. So Omagana Tamananda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So in reference to Srila Prabhupada's mentioning Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this verse is actually very much related to Lord Chaitanya's discussion with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in many ways. What happened is that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Of course, he's sometimes considered to be an incarnation of Vrihaspati. He fainted in front of the deities, and actually he fainted to such an extent that many people thought he was dead. You know, they just like, he was just lying there, and they couldn't detect any breathing. Finally, there was this devotee, Gopinath Acharya, and others, who brought Sarvamama Bhattacharya to the temple to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they put a little cotton swab in front of his nose, and they could see there was a little bit of air going in and out. And Sarvamama Bhattacharya instructed his associates to take Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to his house. So he took care of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And remember, Sarvamama Bhattacharya at that time was a Mayavadi. He was at least exhibiting the pastimes of being a Mayavadi or an impersonalist. And so he brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to consciousness when the devotees arrived and they chanted around Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to consciousness, of course he was very happy, and he told Lord Chaitanya, from now on when you go to see Lord Jagannath, just stand to the back, don't go all the way to the front. In other words, stand at the Garuda Stamba. The Garuda Stamba is a post that is some distance back from the deities of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya would regularly stand there. In fact, you can actually see where certain aspects of the Garuda Stamba melted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's touch if you go to Jagannath Puri. So in any case, and sometimes Lord Chaitanya would stand there and he'd be so absorbed in seeing Lord Jagannath that he wouldn't notice anything going around him, going on around him, to such an extent that one time a lady, an old lady, climbed on his back to see Lord Jagannath. There's a story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So anyway, the lady climbed on his back, and his servant Govinda said to the lady, "Get down!" And Lord Chaitanya chastised his servant. He said, "Look, she has so much enthusiasm to see Lord Jagannath. I wish I had that enthusiasm." So even he allowed a lady to stand on his back to see Lord Jagannath. So anyway, so getting back to the purport of this particular verse, then at one particular point, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very worried about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not because of his fainting, but because he was very young. I mean, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas at 24. Pretty young, isn't it? That means he was a completely young, attractive man. And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was worried about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being able to keep his sannyas vows. So therefore he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I'm going to help you keep your sannyas vows by teaching you Vedanta." Now, Vedanta, the Vedanta Sutra, is a commentary, we mentioned this previously, commentary on the Upanishads. Each and every verse of this Vedanta Sutra refers to certain Upanishads. So anyway, so he taught him for 7 days. He kept teaching, talking to Lord Chaitanya. And then after 7 days, he asked Lord Chaitanya, "You know, do you have any questions? Have you understood?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "I didn't understand anything you said. But I understand the Vedanta Sutra very well. As far as what you said, you know, it's useless." Anyways, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was more or less relating what we call the Sarirakya Bhasha of Shankaracharya, which is the impersonal commentary, the Mayavadi commentary. And actually it said that a devotee should never listen to that commentary because it can spoil your bhakti. How can it spoil your bhakti? Because it's so offensive. Like if you hear, let's say, if you love someone, let's say you love your little child or something like that, and you just hear from, you're forced to sit there and hear that your child is ugly and stupid or blind or deaf or dumb, you know, it's just like, it spoils you. You know, you begin to have some doubts in your child after a while. So the Mayavadis, they say that, you know, God has no, basically, ultimately, no senses, no legs, no consciousness, no individuality. In other words, God is dead. We talked about Mayavad philosophy yesterday. In other words, there's no God. Atheism. So it really like hurts one's heart to the extent that what actually becomes covered up. So Lord Chaitanya, after those 7 days, said, I didn't understand. And then he began to explain the Vedanta Sutra to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But one thing that they talked about in that lengthy explanation was this one verse called the Atmarama verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ramascha Munio Nigranta Piyo Rukume Kurvanti Ahayutagi Bhakti Yitam Bhutta Gunahari. Some of you may have heard of that verse before. So what this verse says is Atmarama. Atmarama basically means what we're hearing in this verse here. Pure devotees are completely free from material desires for sense gratification. In other words, someone is taking pleasure in the self. Atmarama. In this context, the word Rama means pleasure. Atma refers to the self, the soul. Generally, that's the most understood interpretation of that verse. And then so, what that verse says is that, and Lord Chaitanya gave other explanations too, which I'll mention in a second. The verse says that even people who have no material desires, itam bhuta gunahari, they're attracted to hearing and chanting about Krishna. And that verse was used to prove the point that Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's name, Krishna's form are transcendental. And I'll explain what that means. If someone has no material desires, they're not going to be attracted to anything material, right? That's like what we call tautology. That means things equal to the same thing or equal to each other. So, just like if I have no material desires, you could put a mango in front of me and it won't attract me at all. It just won't. But if I have material desires, you put a mango in front, wow. Isn't it? Or just like we were talking the other day about the cats here. If you have material desires and you see a cat, you want to pick it up and kiss it or hold it or pet it or something like that. And if you don't, you just see a spirit soul. But anyway, so those people have no material desires. Somehow or other, they're attracted to itam bhuta gunahari, guna, the qualities of Hari, of Krishna. So doesn't that prove Krishna's transcendental? That proves that Krishna is more than the Brahman. Because people who are self-satisfied basically means they're on the Brahman platform. As described in the Gita, Brahmabhuta prasanatma nasochati nakanchati samaksarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. So this point is one who's on the Brahman platform, Brahmabhuta, Rasanatma. They're happy. Why are they happy? Because Ashochati Nakanchati. They're not hankering for anything. And they're not lamenting. So these are the two activities generally we have in this world. We're hankering for something. Oh, Krishna, give it to me. I want this. And then I'll become happy. Just like you have nowadays, people hanker after different electronic gadgets. Like there was one electronic gadget that just came out that everyone was hankering for until they discovered it exploded. Is that this phone called the Samsung Note 7 or something like that? Some of you may have heard about this if you go on the internet. And they're not, and then it exploded, it destroyed people's cars. They won't let you go in the airplane with it. So anyway, people are hankering after the Maya that explodes on you. That was a point. You get something and then it explodes and it ruins your life. So they're hankering after these things. So anyway, so we're continually hankering after something and we're lamenting about something we lost. Right? Oh, we lost some money. Some thief stole money. Oh, what happened? Oh, we lost someone. Or this or that. So this is the material world. We're either hankering or lamenting. So the kanchati is shokshati. Samak sarveshu. One of the Brahman platform is Sama. He is seeing everything equally. Yeah, there's another verse in the Bhagavad Gita that illustrates this. Vidya, vidya, sampane, brahmaniga, vihashtani, shunichaiva, swapakecha, pandita, samadarshana. The learned sage sees a dog eater, a brahmin, an outcast. He sees them all equally. Pandita, samadarshana. So, brahmabhuta prasanama, nasoshati, nakangshati. And samak sarveshu, bhuteshu, sees all living entities equally. Amad bhakti. And that such a person can take up devotional service. That's it. He has the Samsung 7 there, so hopefully it doesn't explode during class. So Abhinarama, one who is on that platform, they're attracted to Krishna's pastimes. Therefore, we can understand that Krishna's pastimes are completely transcendental. That proves the point. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was explaining this Atmarama verse, he explained it in many different ways. But it was interesting, all the ways he explained it indicated that everyone's attracted to Krishna. Because he explained as Atmarama, sometimes you can take the word Atma as meaning the body. Sometimes you can take the word Atma as meaning the mind, depending on your identification. So Lord Chaitanya described this verse in this fancy word. I don't know if you all know what this means, but in many different permutations of each and every, those of you who are studying mathematics will understand what I'm talking about, or in university. Like each and every word has many different definitions, and it's all permutations of all the combinations of all the different words, and there are thousands of different explanations. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was shocked. He said, I've never heard anyone explain this verse before. Like that. You know, he just knew one explanation. He basically surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that point. And he gave up his Mayavad philosophy. This is what's being referred to by Prabhupada here. And he gave up his ritualistic Brahmana activities or consciousness to such an extent that the next day he just bowed down to Lord Chaitanya. And remember, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was an old man. He was in his 60s, and Lord Chaitanya was only like 24 or 25. So here's this old man, you know, bowing down, giving up everything he believed in his whole life, and changing his philosophy. So you can change old people. I was discussing on the GBC conference, one of the devotees was talking back to me. We had a nice discussion. He said, you can't change people. I said, yes, you can. Even old people, like Prabhupada. Of course, it's harder. Prabhupada said, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But still, you can try, and then sometimes you're successful. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to such an extent, the next day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his house very early in the morning, knocked on his door, woke him up, and said, here's the Mahaprasada. And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately grabbed the Mahaprasadam and ate it. Because that's the injunction, that when you get Mahaprasadam, you have to take it immediately. Of course, you don't have to take everything. You know, some devotees are of the philosophy that someone gives you a big plate of Mahaprasadam, you have to eat everything on the plate. But you can take a little bit, it's all right. It's the same thing. Some people's conception of Mahaprasadam means only the sweets. But Mahaprasadam means everything on the plate. And Mahaprasadam means the Mahaprasadam that was eaten by a great pure devotee. So anyway, so he takes this Mahaprasadam and takes a little bit. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, what are you doing? You didn't take a bath. You didn't do anything. You didn't do your morning sanya rituals. Like a Brahmin is supposed to do all these rituals in the morning, right? Did you know this? No, you don't know. Because a real Brahmin, you know, ritualistic Brahman has to wake up, he has a fire sacrifice going all the time, he has to do a sanja. Sanja means the junction between the day and the night. You know, the morning, and then of course the midday. And then he won't do anything until he's questioned him, you know, why didn't you do any of these things? And he quoted a verse about the Mahaprasadam, that when one's offered Mahaprasadam, one has to take it immediately. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. that he had had so much faith now in Krishna consciousness from the preaching of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Previously, he didn't. He was just very ritualistic. Then, a few days later, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is what's referred to at the end of the purport here. And he said, I've corrected a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's one interesting verse in the Bhagavatam, Tatsena Kampam Sushami Srimana, Bunjidavatma Pratam Vipakam Ridvad Vapuravir, Avidanam Namaste, Jiveta Yo, Mukti Pude Sadaya Bhak. So what that verse states, and that's interesting, it's an interesting verse for all of us, that if one tolerates while he's serving Krishna, everything that happens to him, and things will happen, you know, there'll be different tests. I mean, look at Queen Kunti. What did she have to tolerate? You know, they tried to kill her kids so many times. They were exiled. Her children were exiled. She wasn't in exile. There was danger all the time. So she tolerated all those things. So we should tolerate all those things, because Krishna will send many tests. For those of you who are new devotees, Krishna makes the test very small. Very, very small. And as you advance, the tests get bigger and bigger, harder and harder. Just like you go to school, FSM. Anyway, before you go to school, let's say you go to grade one. Tests are very easy. What is it? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. So that's easy. Any fool can pass that test. But then as you go up in the grades, the homework gets more difficult, right? And basically, you know, then you go to university, it gets even more difficult. You get a PhD, it gets even more difficult. And you join the Hare Krishna movement, it gets even more difficult. So, so getting back to the point. So Krishna consciousness, Krishna does something, I don't know if you have that expression here, it's called tightening the screws. I'll give you a practical example of how I experienced screws actually tightening on me one time. When I was young, I would have these braces in my teeth. They have orthodontists here who put braces in people's teeth. And every week you tighten the screws on it. So my teeth would be straight. I was like, oh my God. So now I hate dentists because of that. But anyways, so Krishna tightens the screws. He expects more from you, a higher standard as you progress in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, tateyena kampam shushumichamana. One who can actually tolerate these things, not only tolerate, but see Krishna is behind these things, helping to purify you. Bunjaneva makritam vipakam. And not blame Krishna. He blames himself. He says, I'm suffering these things due to a token reaction from my past sinful activities. Because when you start Krishna consciousness, you're unplugging the fan of karma. That's the example Prabhupada gave. And the fan has some momentum still. It still spins a little bit. So you get a token reaction. Not your karma, but it's Krishna administering a little bit of reaction to remind you of what a rascal you were before. Of course, if you're stupid, you plug the fan in again and do some nonsense. You know, watch a Bollywood film. The fan starts again. Then you unplug it when you go to the morning program. Then you plug it in. Why isn't it stopped? Because you keep plugging the damn thing in. So anyway, so one who tolerates these resultant reactions, or he accepts them as resultant reactions for his past activities, then mukti pude sudaya bhak, he becomes a rightful inheritor of, in this verse, says mukti. So we understand from Prabhupada's explanation here that the mukti in that verse refers to Mukunda, who gives spiritual liberation, not the impersonal liberation where one just merges or attempts to merge into the Brahman, But the liberation of being in the spiritual world, of serving Krishna in one of the five different rasas or humors, you know, Shanta, Dasha, Sakya, Vatsalya, Amartya. So, but sometimes people understand that verse as just mukti, because there's many ways of understanding the word mukti. Mukti means liberation. So generally we understand the devotee is not interested in liberation, right? What does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says? Mama janmani, janmani shvare, bhavatat bhakti, ahaituki, tvaye. Life after life, I'm not interested in liberation. So generally we understand that, you know, we're not interested. We're interested in serving Krishna life after life and having the association of devotees life after life. Of course, from another perspective, that is mukti. It's called jivan mukta. Jivan mukta means even while you're in this world, you're liberated because you're completely detached from the material things, but you're functioning as your body does this while eating, sleeping, evacuating, as Bhagavad Gita says. You understand you're not doing anything. It's just the body. It's just like you're driving a car. You understand the wheels are not your feet. That would be stupid if someone was driving a car and said, oh, my wheels hurt. Isn't it? Or my engine's having a heart attack. That'd be kind of stupid. When you become liberated, you understand you're just driving the body. Just like, I mean, any of you have seen my book, you know, You're Not the Body, on the picture, it has a person who's in the heart and is driving the body and the super soul is watching and everything like that. You seen that? Yeah. Seen that book? Yeah. He goes, that driving the body. So then, you know, what's the problem? So that's what a devotee's interested in, that type of liberation. However, getting back to the story, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard this verse from the Bhagavatam, he related it to the other type of liberation, which is just like merging in the absolute truth. Merging, Brahma. Because that was his previous situation as a Maya body. So obviously, you know, that was how he related that verse. So what he did is he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I've changed the verse, I've corrected the Bhagavatam. Instead of mukti pade, it's bhakti pade. Pade means feet, you know, the feet of mukti or the feet of bhakti. He said, I don't want to hear the word mukti. And that's actually a good sign, because he was just recovering from the disease of being an impersonalist. So when you're recovering from a disease, you don't want anything to do. I mean, for example, when you're recovering from a cold, when you hear someone sneezing, it becomes that. But if you're a doctor, someone sneezing, that means you got a patient, you can make some money. So when you're a doctor, you like it when someone's sneezing. You go, please sneeze some more. Here's some viruses for you so you can make money. But anyway, so in other words, he had become so adverse to hearing about what he considered to be impersonal liberation that he rejected a verse from the Bhagavatam. And actually, in one sense, devotees are averse to impersonal liberation. There's one great devotee, his name is Prabhunanda Saraswati. He said his statement was Kaivalya Natakayate. The devotee never accepts impersonal liberation. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being a new devotee at that point, just joined the Hare Krishna movement, he felt like that. You know, sometimes when you join something, you become ultra fanatic. We've seen devotees, they join the movement, they go back home to their parents and start yelling at their parents for being in Maya. I did that. Parents didn't appreciate it there very much. You know, you give up me, you give up this, you're going to become a dog in your next life. Poor parents, my poor mother was like, what's happened to my poor son? Who did this to you? My parents even tried, my father even tried to hire a psychologist to determine if I was crazy so he could put me away. You know, I went home one day to visit my father. My father said, "Here's my friend, Dr. So-and-so." And then my father disappeared for 2 hours. And there I was alone with the psychologist. "Are you happy?" And I said, "Yes, are you happy?" I said, "You're not happy because you're not accepting Christians." So it's lucky I didn't get locked away at that point. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was like a new devotee and very fanatic. But when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's correction of this particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, it's not correct to change the Bhagavatam. And then Lord Chaitanya was able to explain, as mentioned here, the actual meaning of the word mukti in that particular context, which means Mukunda, the lotus feet. Mukti pure can be understood as the lotus feet of Mukunda. And of course, Mukunda means Krishna with a beautiful face, and it means Krishna gives liberation. Mukunda, it's a beautiful name, a very beautiful name of Krishna, one of the primary names of Krishna. So this is the story behind this particular explanation of Srila Prabhupada. But as far as ourselves are concerned, we have to be concerned with becoming free from material desires for sense gratification. That's the hard one. We're basically not on the platform of saying, "Oh, I don't want mukti, I don't want anything." We're just thinking, "I want to get rid of these anarthas, like lust, anger, greed, illusion." In the Manashiksha of Raghunath Das Goswami, it describes different anarthas in different ways, like the anartha of prajalpa. You know, prajalpa means talking nonsense. He described that as a witch who steals your heart away, or a prostitute, sorry. A prostitute who steals your heart away when you talk prajalpa. Pretty good. And then he talks about, you know, kama, krodha, mada, matsari, varivai, you know, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, all these things, as thieves, plunderers on the path of spiritual life. In other words, you're walking down the road. This happens in India. You're walking down the road and these dacoits come out. It's like that. Like in, we were traveling one time to South India. They said, "Don't travel at night. Because if you travel at night, they put a log on the road." You understand? And then the car stops and then like 25 dacoits come out and do whatever they're going to do with you. And so there's these dacoits waiting for us on the road. So anyway, we have to deal with all these different things. The dacoits, and then things get more subtle, you know, hypocrisy, cheating, so many things. So we have to deal with these things to come to the point of becoming free from desires for subtle and gross sense gratification. And then, nashochati, nakanchati, then we can actually be established firmly nishtha and pure devotional service. So anyway, so we'll end here. We got 4 more minutes left. Any questions or comments? Questions? Any ladies have questions? No? Any of the men have questions? Yeah.
Will there sometimes
Yeah, sometimes or all the time.
So, as soon as the time for prasada,
we don't feel sleepy.
Not at all.
I doubt.
Why is that?
Because we're in Maya. We're attached to the body. We're not thinking, "Let me get out of this material world." If we actually realize, first of all, the material world is miserable, we'd want to get out. Just like if you're a prisoner. Let's take that example. If you're a prisoner, you're always playing. They had this one prisoner in Mexico. His name was Guzman. I don't know if anybody heard about him, but he was like the head of the whole mafia there, where they were drugs, you know, like he had billions of dollars, actually. So the whole time he was in prison, he was planning how to escape. So what they did is they, in the ventilation duct, you know, He dug into the wall and had a tunnel hundreds of feet long. So much endeavor to escape. He wasn't thinking, let me enjoy the prison. Because he understood he was in the prison. But you don't think you're in a prison. You think, this is nice. You know, wow. This is nice. This body is nice. When you get older, you'll see it a little differently. But this body is nice. You know, it's, wow, it's great. Got my nice wife, my house. We have tenants who are paying the rent. Got money coming in. Got a good job. Right?
Yes.
Got nice food. My wife's cooking for me at home. Got those roadies coming. The puffed up roadies. Anyways. So you think you're a free man. But if you actually understood you were in prison, you'd be thinking of how to escape. And so the way to find out how to escape is Bhagavatam class. Bhagavatam class gives us the escape route. Isn't it? I mean, if you were in prison and someone said to you, yeah, here's how to get out. Please listen carefully. Remember every word that I say and you can get out. You'd say, okay. You wouldn't go. Would you? But you're not convinced that you need to get out of this world. You're not convinced you need to love Krishna. If we're convinced, then we'll be very alert. Okay. You have to hear all the directions how to get out. So that's why we fall asleep. Because we're very, very happy being here. Bhagavatam, sorry, what is that? Fill the belly, that's the goal. You're the body, not the soul. That's from the prediction, the Kali Yuga predictions in Bhagavatam. I wrote a whole song about that. Did you ever hear that song? I wrote a rap song. It's in one of my albums, which I'll give you all on the hard drive. It says, Kali Yuga is coming on fast, already got 5,000 years past. People living underground, selling human flesh by the pound. Nobody's ever peaceful or clean, no mercy, everybody's mean. Fill the belly, that's the goal. You're the body, not the soul. It's a poem. A beautiful poem about Kali Yuga. No one's heard it? No. Anyway, it's a nice poem. So, anyway, so the real satisfaction to Shanti Cha, Ramanti Cha, is Krishna Katha. And that gets us out. That's the escape route. It's a portal. I don't know if any of you have ever seen science fiction films, but there's something called a portal. A portal, it means door. You know, port, door. There's like in a ship, they say there's a port, which is like a window in a ship. So the sound vibration and the temples are like doors to the spiritual world, where you can just enter and whoop, you're back in the spiritual world. But the way to do that is through a sound vibration. Otherwise, you know, just sit here. Where's Prashad? You won't be back in the spiritual world. You are where your consciousness is at. Just like you can be physically in Vrindavan, but you won't be in Vrindavan. The mind, where the mind is, that's where you are. So we have to survive now, Krishna Padaravinde. But we also have to be convinced about this world. That's why the Bhagavatam deals so much about this world. You know, people ask, why so many stories about the material world, the creation, the disillusion? You know, why do we have to hear about Paruruva, Urvasi? You know, why don't we just hear, like, Krishna's passing the gopis in the spiritual world? Because we have to be convinced. Dukali Mashashvatam. You're not convinced yet. No. You will. As you get older, you know, there's more convincing arguments that time gives you. So, any other questions? About Mayapur. He heard my poem, Mayapur from Some of you met Mayapur and Champaka. They were both watching the class this morning. They're in Hawaii. Adesh Kumar. Let's see. Radhakaruna is watching. It's very nice. Nanda Gopal from Canada. Freezing to death in Canada. He wasn't intelligent enough to stay here in Fiji. Madhava Sangati, Draupadi from New Zealand, Jai Radhika, Shalini, Adha Shamalata, Sarvashakti, all these people watching this morning. Okay. Thank you all. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.